personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, should we just start with the depressing biggest headline that just broke, Dal? Jalen Carter indicted for supposedly being involved in a car race that was involved in that fatal accident that killed a staff member and teammate from Georgia a couple of months ago. They're saying Carter may have been involved with racing them on the highway right before they crashed and were fatally
wounded. His biggest thing is that he said he wasn't involved, and yeah, he was. That's
an automatic uh-oh.
To me, that's a lot worse than... I mean, it's not like he's the one that was driving, and I mean, at least I don't know that, but this happens every year, or virtually every year. There's a top prospect, or the top prospect. In this case,
he was number one.
Yeah. The top prospect does something stupid, or they find something that they've done stupid, and sometimes it really affects their draft status, and you know what? Sometimes it's an accurate reflection of what that person is. Other times, not so much. There's been some that, you know, that seem really bad at the time, and that's the last you ever heard of it, and the person's been model citizen.
Lest we never forget Laramie Tunsil falling 20 spots in the draft
for wearing a gas mask.
As far as we know, he's had literally no infraction since entering the league.
And he's looking to be like the highest paid offensive lineman in the league, his next contract. So, yeah, sometimes there's that. Sometimes, you know, in fact, there's statistically, professional athletes commit these crimes less often than the normal public, but it does seem like it happens a lot. In fact, I can't even remember who punched the woman in the restaurant in college. And
you're talking about Kareem Hunt?
Yeah. Was it him? I don't know. There's been more than...
I think so. Ray Rice was the elevator.
Well, him. Ray Rice was infamous. Yeah, that one.
Alvin Kamara might be in trouble now.
Yeah, he looks like he's in big trouble. But yeah, as far as...
And did you hear about Ja Morant?
No, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, he's in trouble now because reportedly while playing pickup basketball at a park, which is a good idea if you're an NBA player, but maybe he's just trying to show off, but it's an even worse idea to do this. He threw 12 to 13... This is very specific. The eyewitnesses must have been... on top of it, 12 to 13 punches at a 17-year-old boy who was there also at the park, then flashed a gun at the kid.
It's kind of hard to justify that many. I mean, you throw a couple punches.
Unless 12 or 13 were also thrown at you and it was just back and forth. But I'm not sure what starts a fight with a 17-year-old when you're a professional athlete. And I'm not sure what warrants, apart from deadly force being used against you, the flashing of your handgun at a child.
I understand that is the proper answer. I will say the absolute most furious, baited, almost got myself in trouble I've ever been was with a teenage boy mocking and... like wanting to, like basically trying to start a fight with me knowing that he was a 17-year-old and it is at the time I think I was 25 and at the time I'm just like I was a father of two, they're just little, but I was weighing the options. I'm just like, let's see what would happen. I'm not fast enough to run away. even then, I was not fast enough to run away. But yeah, the most triggered I've ever been was with a minor in that situation.
Handgun?
And so I was triggered? Not. No. It was in the Thomas and Mack Center during the Mountain West basketball tournament. I was not packing. No.
And I don't know. There is a part of me that thinks, like, I've been angry at people before. Is there any part of you that shouldn't be as angry that you're willing to flash a handgun when the easiest out in the world exists if someone's really getting under your skin to just go, oh yeah, well I'm Ja Morant, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah,
no matter what this guy is saying to you, it can't beat that. Well, just use your Trump card and leave.
Not only that, you're absolutely right. But I'm just saying the maddest I have ever been without actually getting into a fight was with a 17-year-old
that's fair
boy who was using that. he was using that 2 or 3 months that he had left very flippantly. Let's just put it that way. Because, I mean, this was in March. So, I mean, he had to be almost 18 if he wasn't 18 yet. But anyway, yeah, you just can't do that. Thankfully, cooler heads prevailed, but that's been, what, 20-something years ago? Mm-hmm. And I still hate that kid. I hate him. And in fact, I can tell you who it is. I'm not going to, just in case things...
Dal's been monitoring him closely ever since.
But he was the little brother of one of the players in the tournament.
Mm.
And so I know the team and I know the player. And so obviously it's his little brother and he's a jerk.
But yeah, a lot of
I hope his life has turned out terribly.
A lot of ramifications could come from this for Carter, of course. The first of which being, you know, there were some mock drafts that were saying, you know, I don't know about trades yet, so let's pretend the Bears stay still. They take Carter number one. Those were all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, because let's be honest, we're 6-7 weeks away from the draft. You have if you're charged with creating draft content, you have to create some. I mean, we even did it last week. We created mock draft content last week.
We created the Derrick Henry to Buffalo rumor.
We were first. We won our money.
We brewed it in our witch's cauldron.
We did.
Into existence.
And then I was.
Now it's real.
And I was disappointed. I like tagged it and I guess, I don't know. I guess I thought maybe someone would contact us. It didn't happen.
With a huge check.
Not even that. It's like. It's like Adam Schefter, you know, hey, you guys were on top of this, you know. Us this week is Adam Schefter.
Hey, we almost had Kyle Sloter on today.
So, okay, let's finish with what's his name, and then we'll come back to this, because that's going to be like a whole segment. but Jalen Carter has been indicted, and...
Now, he is on his way back to Athens. He's cooperating, and he claims publicly, he put out a statement saying, he firmly believes he will be entirely exonerated. So whether that's just smoke up all our butts or what, that's what Jalen Carter has stated publicly, for what it is worth.
And I'm kind of I'm a movie nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever certain words are used, I think of movie lines that come up. And whenever someone says indicted, I think of this scene.
About 1 minute before the company...
Indicted?
That's not fair. They made you go on that show.
You hear what they said, Jane? I'm going to be indicted.
Yeah, but you only said what they told
indicted,
you.
Indicted, Jane! To. Indicted! I'm going to be indicted!
No, wait, it's going to be okay.
Indicted!
Honey, Dick.
Indicted!
Honey.
I'm going to be indicted!
Hold it, they can't. It's going to be okay. Just calm down.
I can't calm down. I'm going to be indicted!
Anyway, Jalen Carter has been indicted.
Yes, we hope that he's going the speed limit on his way back to Athens for his trial coming up here.
I don't think. Well, I guess it depends.
And that is kind of the thing, is even if he was charged, it would hurt his draft stock. But here's the thing. If they had just charged him with the auto racing on a highway, and even though it ended in the other car crashing, it's not actually that huge of a fine.
It's one of those, hey, you shouldn't have been doing that. But now
the
it's
lying
like,
to the police is going to be a larger penalty.
Well, and not only that, now
if he's found guilty, allegedly.
Now it
allegedly.
Feels like, well, what did you do here? You know, I guess what I'm saying is at the time when there's an accident, you know, you want to believe that, you know, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. But now it's like, why did you lie about this? Did you do?
To be fair, I'd have to imagine that my brain immediately jumps to he was 21 years old. He saw his friends get into an auto accident knowing he was racing, and he probably just booked it. He said, you know what? I'm about to be the number one pick potentially in the NFL draft. I'm scared. I don't want to answer for this. I'm leaving. And he thought, you know, because he's 21 and he's dumb. That would be my guess. Maybe there was more tomfoolery than that. But, you know, when you're 21 and you're dumb, sometimes you're scared of consequences for your actions.
But it's, and It's just what it might do to his draft status. I guess we don't know yet. So I'm just reading it from ESPN right now. So he has been charged with reckless driving and racing in connection with a crash that killed a teammate and recruiting staff member. So I guess here's the thing. Was he like actively involved in the events that caused this death? Yeah, as it stands right now, I would say it doesn't look like it.
You hope he didn't like run him off the road or something, trying to win a race.
But that's my point. I guess that's what we don't know.
Yeah.
If it's simply you were in the race or you were in the crowd, and yeah, nobody should be doing that, and it was a tragic accident, and somebody lost control, and you had nothing to do with, you know, him physically in his car, then he's going to be fine. But yeah, if there's something else here, wow. But that's what I'm saying. When you lie to the police and then you have this whole thing come out, then it makes you look, well, let's be honest, makes you look dishonest because you are.
And I hate to be this guy, but I just saw a post from Bleacher Report yesterday. I mean, literally yesterday, where they were making fun of Todd McShay for his draft thing about Jalen Carter is a great draft pick, or he's a great talent, but he's lazy, he takes some plays off, and he also reportedly has some character issues. Dal having some Mountain Dew issues over here.
Oh my gosh.
And so the snapback that Bleacher Report had was, well, we dug into it, and did you know that one of Jalen Carter's teammates, who was a walk-on, because he was a walk-on, he never received a dime of scholarship, so Jalen Carter gave him his meal plan so that he could eat meals in the cafeteria for free all year, and Todd McShay has the audacity to say Jalen Carter has character issues, and they post this article, and then literally a day later, here's Jalen Carter being arrested for... Maybe the year of free meals was a nice thing he did, but maybe also don't lie to the police and get into drag races.
And that's sort of where we are.
That's called being a person.
Yes, I was just going to say, that's where we are. I really don't like the whole, there's this whole culture of, well, you can't be, this can't be this way if this person did this. I'm like, no one is 100% one way or the other. So like you said, multiple things can be true at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that from marriage counseling. Just throwing that out there. There's
Jalen Carter and NFL scouts must go to marriage counseling.
Well, I'm just saying, but everybody wants that number one pick or their spouse or their kid or whoever to be this 100% perfect, never make mistakes. That's just not how it works.
Yeah, unless you're my parents. Your kid turned out that way, don't worry.
No way. I kicked your butt in Pick'em. Kicked it.
But listen here, Dal. I still had fun. And you never truly lose if you have fun.
Well, you can argue that. I didn't even have fun, but I did kick your butt.
That gave me a chuckle when my wife sent that in the sea. Her sea dragons may have lost, but at least they had fun. And you never really lose when you have fun.
You're going to make me find another YouTube clip.
That was great. Speaking, though, of some top defenders in the draft, did you hear what Will Anderson said?
No.
During his pre-combine interview today, he got the media caught up with him. NFL Network had Will Anderson on their podium, and he said, now granted, he's maybe just trying to go number one overall, but you know, he's got to be aware that the Bears might be trading back, and his comment was as follows. They said, you got your eye on anyone in particular? And of course he starts with, well, you know, I'm just here to work hard, and any team that picks me, I'm trying to bring them a Super Bowl. I do, though, have to say, I really like Chicago. I like their history of defense, and just look at what they're doing. Look at what they're building. Chicago is onto something special there. That was what Will Anderson said.
What does Will Anderson know?
Will Anderson wants to be a Bear, confirmed?
What's his degree in?
I don't know.
Unless it's business, he should shut up.
He shouldn't.
They haven't built anything.
He knows what a rebuild looks like, Dal.
Okay, I just want to point out, there was a whole year that it looked like Washington knew what they were doing after RG3 was there. Alfred Morris, sixth-round draft pick, 1,000-plus yards, RG3, future of the league, rookie of the year. We're up 14-0 on Seattle in the playoffs. We're on the way, baby.
And his kneecap turned backwards.
I'm just saying, it was deodorant.
Yeah.
Winning is deodorant for the smelly kid. Joe Gibbs famously said that.
Winning is the deodorant but
that covers up the stench of losing.
Will Anderson talking about... I also saw this stat, by the way. I know we're all big on this is a really stacked draft year for edge rushers. Have you seen the numbers, though? Will Anderson pressures, quarterback pressures in 3 years at Alabama compared to other top...
1 million pressures.
So in three seasons, and of course they only play the 12 games a year in college, 207 QB pressures in 3 years compared to Aiden Hutchinson, 171 in 3 years, Nick Bosa, 169 in 3 years.
Wow.
Joey Bosa, 169 in... That's hilarious.
Come on, Bosas. They did that on purpose.
Yeah. And then J.J. Watt, who produced 145 pressures in 4 years.
By the way, here's the... while you ponder those numbers, here's the clip for your wife. Again, the 0-2 Sea Dragons.
Here's some things we can focus on. One, we tried hard. And two, we're still dear friends.
I've also always been a fan of... why am I forgetting his name? The dirtiest linebacker in NFL history.
Conrad Dobler.
No, he was a guard.
But he's the dirtiest player in NFL history.
I
Wyoming Cowboy. You cannot take that away from us.
Okay.
And he just passed away a couple weeks ago.
I will choose not to take that away from you. But
I'm talking about Romanowski?
Yes, Bill Romanowski in the longest yard after he takes estrogen instead of steroids.
That wasn't Bill Romanowski, that was the big tall wrestler guy.
No, it was Romanowski.
Mm-mm. It was Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash.
Oh, Romanowski just gets confused by it, doesn't he?
I don't know, but Romanowski's a jerk.
Yeah. You heard about the thing about he threw a microwave at a teammate because the teammate microwaved a sandwich and it exploded in the microwave.
And how dare he?
Yeah. And he threw the microwave from the team facility.
I'd not heard that.
Yeah. He admitted that to Mike Florio in an interview with NBC. He also admitted to biting a guy at the bottom of a pile.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure lots of people have done that.
Dick Butkus claims he was always accused of it, but insists he never actually did. but yeah, the clip of I guess it was Kevin Nash then who took the estrogen and was, I just hope everyone is having fun.
Well, I can also, since you brought up Bill Romanowski, I can tell you that I do remember he appeared in a few movies, one of which was the movie Get Smart, which is based on the TV show of the same name. And he tackles the main guy, Steve Carell, who they think has a shoe bomb on the plane. So here's some Bill Romanowski.
No! Go! Go!
General Marshall, you're under arrest!
Sir, I believe you just shattered my coccyx.
I'm on a roll today.
Dal's got the movie quote for all your needs. A couple of non-football related news stories today coming out. This one's just Chicago related, but Patrick Kane is on the move, Dal.
I saw that. Big
trade. End of an era in Chicago. And I must say, it is hilarious. You want to talk about a rebuild. So Chicago just went full sell. They said, you know what? We're the second worst team in hockey. Everyone, we're having a yard sale. Give us draft picks. We'll give you players. The Blackhawks somehow managed to come away from this trade deadline with 3 first-round picks in the next 2 years and 3 second-round picks. And only one of those, and it was a second-round pick, was actually for Patrick Kane. They got all that other stuff for all their nonsense players. And then Patrick Kane gets a 2 1/4.
Well, I will point out that even though the Avalanche are not in first place at the moment, they have won 6 in a row. So they're on their way.
Good time to get hot. The Boston Bruins, by the way, still on pace to break the Montreal Canadiens' all-time points in a single season record.
Yeah, they got 99 right now.
Yeah, the record, I believe, is 120?
I don't remember. I don't even know. But here's my thing. You don't necessarily want that. You remember the Lightning set a record just a couple years ago for, was it for wins? See, that's my whole point. You don't even remember what it was for. All you remember is that they lost in the first round of the playoffs. You don't want to be the team. You don't want to be the Golden State. You don't want to be the 73-9 Golden State Warriors. You want to be the 72-10 Chicago Bulls because they won the championship. You know what I'm saying?
132.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You don't want to be the team that breaks some record and then doesn't win the championship. No one cares.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, if you do both, then you go down in history.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the 72 and 10 Bulls, best team ever. But wait a minute. The Golden State Warriors won one more game. Did they win the championship? Then they're not. Period. End of sentence.
Yep. Not that, I mean, we say that all we want. I would still rather be Boston than I would any other team in the NHL right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to be kicking butt during a regular season and having a great year. That's the fun part. If you're a fan of that team, you get to soak it in and enjoy it. But if you don't win that championship, it's ultimately a downer, a big downer.
Of course, if they get to 132, though, we're still going to have to talk about that.
They have a long way to go. There's a lot of points between 99 and 132.
That's true. But oh boy, is Boston rolling this year.
Yeah, they won 8 in a row right now.
They are ridiculous.
Here's the crazy thing, though. They're 60, 47, and 8.
8!
But the Maple Leafs, 60, 37, 15. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Okay.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, the Boston Bruins are looking... although now all of a sudden the New York Rangers, look out for them. They retooled at the trade deadline, so they're not up there with Boston chasing those points, but look out for them in the playoffs with that stacked lineup.
Carolina's only lost 11 games. Just throwing that out there.
Thank you, Dal.
Hey, my contributions to hockey are very basic, okay? There's ice and there's skates and there's people and stuff.
This is me covering the basketball games at the high school level. Oh, you know what? That was pretty impressive. In fact, it was so impressive, he now has, scroll, 20 points today.
You know, he shot that free throw and made it. And as we all know, a free throw line to the basket is 15 feet. You're like one of those people, aren't you? Basketball, invented by Dr. James Naismith.
And did you see this, Dal? I thought you, of all people, would appreciate such an act. Did you see what happened in the Pirates-Orioles spring training game the other day?
No. Was there a fight?
No.
Oh.
It was just entertaining for people that... We're just...
Oh, wait, is this one with no umpires?
Yeah, the umpire said, well, it's bottom of the ninth, the game is over, we're leaving. And both teams said, well, it's spring training anyway, we'd rather get our work in. Can we just play the bottom of the inning?
I think it's awesome.
The umpire said, no, we're leaving. And the players said, okay, we'll self-umpire then.
I think it's awesome. Okay, I need to go off on a little bit of a rant. Are we in a good rant section?
No, how dare you?
I am irritated. Everyone in the... There's so many professional leagues right now tweaking rules, tweaking things, changing things. What are they doing? Why are they messing with stuff? Like, long-time stuff. Like, okay, pitch count. Or pitch clock.
Yep.
They need to throw that thing in a blender. Screw that. That is the one good thing about baseball. Seriously, and I'm not, and you know me, I'm not like a huge baseball person, but I like it okay, and I'm an American. I mean, I like sports, so I have an opinion. I'm not like that Robert De Niro film where he's the fan of the player that's Wesley Snipes and, you know, kills people for it. But I like baseball, and I respect the history of that as it dovetails with American history. And every other game has a clock. Every other game has a limit. Baseball doesn't, or they didn't. And they've come out and said, well, look at this. Games are 23 minutes faster with the pitch clock than they were without. Who cares? You're supposed to be in... Baseball was the last sport where you could just go hang out and let it happen. And it gets over when it gets over. Maybe it takes an hour and 40 minutes. Maybe it takes 6 hours and 40 minutes. If you don't like a game being long, then friggin' leave. I don't care. But to shove a clock into the game that doesn't need one or hasn't had one for almost 200 years, seriously? Who thought this was a good idea? Even the people out there that's like, well, I liked it. It shortens the game. You're stupid. This is terrible for baseball.
I actually really enjoy the fact that baseball's whole purpose in my life as a sports fan.
It is a pastime. You're there to just hang out and eat Cracker Jack and watch a guy scratch himself for 2 minutes before he throws a pitch.
I was about to say, not even if I'm at the game, even when I'm just at home. I mean, it from April to August until this year when we have football all year long, I went, you know what? It's Thursday. It's in May. You know, what am I going to do after I'm done working today? I'm just going to go home. I'm going to, I don't know, eat dinner. Oh, good. There's a baseball game on at 6. Mm. I'll turn that on at 6 o'clock, and then that will take me all the way to 9.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah. All the way to 9, 9:30. And then, you know, then all of a sudden I only got like 2 hours to kill in my day before it's time for bed. What a glorious thing.
I hate it. And all these other leagues are doing the same thing. In fact, here's another article that came out today on ESPN. The PGA Tour is revamping their format for certain events, and some of them are going to have no cuts. And they're going to have smaller fields with no cuts. Oh, goody. That's what I want. I want everyone to get to play 4 days of golf. Yeah, that was sarcasm.
My goodness. I got something to bring up here in a second.
I'm tired of these things, the changing of the rules, that don't need to be changed. I hate that there's a rules expert on every NFL crew now.
You complain about that one a lot.
Because I hate it.
I actually enjoy...
I would rather swallow a terrible call. I would rather swallow a half dozen terrible calls in a game than listen to some guy, let's talk to the rules expert. That used to be the guy you didn't invite to your house. That's who that used to be.
So when they're reviewing something, though, Dal, what would you fill that extra space with? I'm just, I mean, someone's got to be talking.
I'm almost to the point now where it's like you get 30 seconds and they shut the sucker off. And if you can't, and if you aren't convinced in that 30 seconds, then we just keep going.
That would be one thing. It sounded to me more like you were mad at the expert in the booth.
I am. I don't like him either.
All they do is they say, hey, so he dropped the ball there. It hit the turf. Why is that incomplete? And the guy just answers the question.
Exactly. You know why it's incomplete, Aaron. It's because he didn't catch the ball.
Here's why I like that guy. Because I have too many times in my life been watching a football game on Thanksgiving or the Super Bowl and been surrounded by people that will just start screaming at the TV, utter nonsense, when I know full well. I'm like, you guys don't know the rules of football, do you? Oh, good. Dean Blandino is here. Dean, tell my great Aunt Susan why she's being stupid right now.
I'm okay with there being some but you can do it in a way that's not, here's rules expert Dean Blandino. He is, he's been drinking coffee in the basement for 10 hours, and now we've got him up here explaining NFL rules.
Dal's hatred for ex-referees is so spectacular.
I hate it.
Get out of my booth.
Well, if anything, it should be the color commentator AKA a lot of times a former player or a coach that's like, oh, okay. You know, a lot of people think this, but this happens with me at the high school level. Sometimes you got to explain why they're calling something or why they're not calling something. And it should be within the flow of the game. It shouldn't be, oh, let's stop and open up the rule book. Dean, come over here. Let's talk about the record.
The players on the field aren't aware that someone's talking about. They just announce it while it's going
on. It's stupid.
I'll give a great example.
Hold on. But the show Cheers. Did you ever watch the show Cheers?
No. I am in my 20s.
This is going to fall on deaf ears. So there was a guy on Cheers played by John Ratzenberger, and he played a postman named Cliff Clavin. And Cliff Clavin was a know-it-all, whether he knew it or not. He was that guy in the bar, that guy in the group that would just make crap up and had to know all the answers. I'm tired of Cliff Clavin being in these booths. I'm tired of that. Anybody over 40 will agree with me on that.
Okay. Can I say one time that happened just this weekend that I was a big fan of thank you to everyone's screen? Because I just knew that there had to be people watching on TV that were just as dumb as everyone in the stadium. So I'm watching the XFL. Your Defenders are 2-0, by the way.
2-0 Defenders.
Woo! So if Dal continues to enjoy XFL, do we have to start talking about whether or not you want in on the T-shirt pool?
Oh, I want
for the USFL?
No, that's stupid. I like the XFL right now. Okay. The USFL still has work to do. I guess for whatever reason, that whole hub game,
which is not going to be a thing this year.
I hate it.
It's gone.
Okay, well, that's good. But they've got work to do. Right now, it's the NFL, the XFL, and then a layer of crap, and then the USFL.
I only ask because I doubt I can get the rest of everyone that's already in that pool to join two T-shirt pools.
Here's the thing, though. So I'm sitting here.
Might help you, though, enjoy the USFL if you know that the free T-shirt could be on the line.
It's true. And I will say this, even though I don't really care for the USFL, I love football, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And you like free shirts.
And I like obscure shirts. So I'm kind of intrigued. Yeah, I'm in.
All right.
I'm in. And the reason why is because I want to be able to wear a, I don't know, what's a...
I was about to say, here's why.
Who was it you just showed us the shirt that was on the thread? Was it the...
Oh, Birmingham Stallions.
The Birmingham Stallions.
My dad won his shirt.
I want to show up wearing a Birmingham Stallions shirt that's too small.
Now here's...
at a party, and people go, what the hell
Here's
is
why
that?
I say this. Because you almost picked them before the USFL played.
Yeah, I did.
You almost picked the New Jersey Generals.
Yeah.
Because you said you liked their logo.
I like their color scheme, yeah.
So the guy who was our New Jersey Generals guy last year didn't actually ever reply to any of the texts, and I don't know if he's going to be involved in wanting to play.
Well.
So if the New Jersey Generals are just up for grabs, I figured, I mean, Dal almost liked the Generals.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'll be your Generals.
They made the playoffs last year.
But as of right now.
Anyhow.
The DC Defenders.
Two.
Defenders of the Earth. Defenders.
Yeah.
The Defenders.
Suck on it.
Have a bit of a quarterback. Two-headed monster brewing, which has been very effective for them.
The hero starts. The beasts call him brother. The ghost to war. Defenders of the Earth. Defenders.
So, in the XFL game, though, speaking of rules expert, and I really actually like what the XFL does is when they go to review something, they just show me the review booth of the guy telling me so that I don't waste my time wetting my pants for 3 minutes thinking, is this guy going to blow it?
See, this is where your youth really shows up. I grew up in the commercial era. When there's a break, you go to the bathroom.
I liked...
Don't sit there and wet your pants, Feely.
I liked Dean Blandino. They just go, all right, we're going to take a review. You know, was his knee down or did he fumble? And it just cuts right to... There's Blandino watching it in the booth, and he goes, I think I see his knee down right here. Let me see the ball. Yeah, he's still got the ball. Yeah, overturn this. He's down. I don't have to wait. I just get to know. I'm like, okay,
that part, there it is. I don't mind. You're talking the XFL.
Yes.
You're talking the XFL version of the review.
And then let me say this, though, about the rules expert, because that entire stadium, as I'm watching Renegades versus Roughnecks. There was one play where I went, it is amazing to me how many football fans don't know the intricate rules of football. Renegades defender beats his tackle. He's getting around. Silvers is about to throw the ball. Gets Silvers right around the horse collar. Yanks him down for the sack. Fourth down, baby. Let's go. Flag comes in. And I'm screaming at my TV as the whole stadium's. I'm like, no! That's not a horse collar. He's in the pocket. You cannot horse collar a quarterback in the pocket. That's specifically written in the rules. And they end up waving the flag. And the whole stadium erupts into, boo, refs, you suck. Refs, you suck.
Well, they do suck.
And I went, did none of you know the rules of football? Not a single one of you? And then Brandon Silvers, an XFL quarterback, technically professional, and even before he was professional, if you don't like calling the XFL professional, he was a Division I college quarterback.
They're professional. You have to be...
Very good at football.
At these, I'm sitting here being kind of a dork with the USF. You have to be damn good at football to be playing in these leagues.
Yes. So how much football do you think Brandon Silvers has played in his
life?
To then sit on the bench with a microphone on and say, are you effing kidding me? How do they not call that? He got his hand all up in my... And then some expletives. And a coach literally walks up to him and says, you were inside the pocket. And he goes, that shouldn't matter. He got my whole back collar. And I went, what do you mean it shouldn't matter, Brandon?
That's the rule.
The guy just told you what the rule was. Well, how do you not know the rules of football? You're a quarterback.
I want to know why the horse collar is a... Let's talk about this for a minute. So this was the whole... Was it Terrell Owens? He gets tackled from behind on a quote-unquote horse tackle. Pulls him down. He lands on his foot, ankle wrong, breaks his leg.
Mm-hmm. By Roy Williams, I think.
And people are like, this has to change. You know, this is our superstars are going down, and this has to... I have a fundamental disagreement with the idea that making something a penalty stops it from happening. Has it stopped it from happening? Are there gun laws in Chicago, Aaron? Are there still shootings there?
I'll say this, though. Since they banned it, Roy Williams was suddenly a much less effective tackler.
I'm just saying... I'm just saying I hate the rules that now punish some of the physicality of the game.
There's only really two that I am okay with because they have nothing to do with physicality. It's literally just I'm going to do this because it's date. It has nothing to do with I'm bigger than you and I'm going to put
and
a wallop
they
on
are...
you. Face mask.
Okay.
Probably shouldn't do that. And the horse collar does absolutely destroy your spine.
I'm fine with the face mask too because it's part of the equipment.
And the horse collar thing only bugs me because, like you said, we like physicality in our football.
You can go down any way you want. You don't have to be...
I've been tackled by my horse collar
here
before.
Here it comes.
It hurts.
Have you been horse collar tackled, Dal? No, I haven't. That's
I'm just saying. That one's... Because, like, if you weighed 90 pounds, you could take down Derrick Henry with a horse collar.
I'm just saying...
It takes a little bit of the... I'm a big, tough, manly
it is
man.
Also,
I'm going to wallop you.
It
of
is
football.
Also up to the player to fall in a manner that doesn't hurt themselves.
It's behind you, Dal.
I understand.
You can't control you, it.
Sure
just
you
happens.
Can.
You're running full speed, and then suddenly, oops, and I'm on my back. It took 1 second.
I'm just saying, I don't like it.
I am okay with face mask and horse collar. This leg whip thing, though, that they were talking about, which I'm glad that just went away, which
so
I'm glad.
This one got mentioned, and I don't even think it's going to see the light of day. The hip drop tackle. We're going to look at this, and I'm like, you mean pulling someone down with gravity?
Yeah.
That's called tackling. What the heck are you talking about?
Aren't you so glad that we literally haven't heard anything about it
since
like
a month
ago?
I'm actually glad that means there might be a little modicum of common sense in these rules committees. And that's another thing I don't like. Boy, I'm just bitching a lot today. I don't like...
You're being very unsportsmanlike, Dal.
Oh, okay. There it is. I am being...
He's got it tabbed.
I was not a sportsman.
This also dropped today, by the way, as you're talking about hating rules committee.
But I hate the idea that they're just they got to mess with everything. Just leave it alone. It's a perfect game. Leave it alone.
After polling a minimum of 30 players per team, the NFL has reached team report cards. And this is what it's based on. Based on one, two, I think it's eight categories. Yeah, essentially it's not the skill of the team. This was, they were just asking players, how are the teams doing in being, you know, I don't know, nice, high quality. The categories were treatment of player families, nutrition, quality of weight room, quality of the strength staff,
okay,
the training room, the training staff, the locker room, and travel accommodations.
Those all seem like things you'd want to know about your potential franchise.
So I'm looking at some of these. The Bears ranked 13th among all 32 teams across the eight
That's
categories.
Not bad. Top half.
Yeah.
Almost top third.
Yeah. I mentioned this in passing yesterday.
Where's Washington?
I'm about to get to that.
Oh, good. He's smiling.
Yeah. Was the moral conflict I always have with hating the McCaskies is that I want to hate the McCaskies from a purely Bears fan standpoint, but as it turns out, they're actually perfectly decent people.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. You hate to see that.
Dan Snyder, however,
Washington
is the kind of man who moves into a home on a river and cuts down all the trees on the river because he doesn't want those trees there. He's one of those guys.
Washington ranks 31st.
Woo!
Now, this one's hilarious because the Cincinnati Bengals.
I've heard this.
Yeah. Look at this. Look at this grade. Treatment of player families, F. Nutrition, F minus.
Wow.
Which is made up. Weight room, F. Strength staff, A. Hey, good work, staff.
Well, the
training room, F. Training staff, A. Hey, good
so
work.
So I will just bring this up.
Locker room, D. Travel accommodations, F.
So I'll just bring this up. And since, you know, there is a connection, I'm not going to use his name, even though we use his name all the time. There's a certain player that plays for the Bengals. And through the grapevine, I've heard that the facilities there, by comparison to where this person played college, is pathetic.
Which is hilarious because you're, of course, talking about Mr. Logan.
I didn't say any of that. And it's just a rumor.
Joe Burrow very infamously made the Bengals practice facility famous when he went on the Pat McAfee show and just publicly said, we have the worst practice facility I have ever played on. LSU made this thing look pathetic. He said, my high school turf we played on at practice was better than the Bengals.
Let's use Joe Burrow because I don't want to get in trouble. You're talking. I've read that, and yet that's why that owner. I don't even know who the owner is.
I believe it's Mike Brown.
But they are raking it in right now because the Bengals are contenders.
It's why I enjoy Pat McAfee. Then after Joe said all
Can
this
you imagine
on the
being the 32nd team ranked and all this crap and then going to the Super Bowl and almost going to the their profit margin is through the roof.
I remember McAfee, like every week that Joe Burrow does anything impressive, McAfee has to tweet out, imagine what would happen if we got this guy an indoor practice facility.
It's true. Well, and then
it's my favorite meme on the internet.
And then you look at teams, who's number one?
Number one on the full grade was the Minnesota Vikings.
Interesting. Okay, so now you look at the Vikings, or I'm assuming Dallas is right up there.
Do you want to hear the Vikings grades?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Treatment of family, A. Nutrition, A. Wait, where are the Vikings now? It's very difficult to read because you have to scroll up to the categories and then back down. I'll just tell you this. It was an A or an A+.
Wow.
They got four A's, four A-pluses in every category.
But
their A-pluses were all facility related.
And yet, have they been to the Super Bowl lately?
No.
I
bet it's super fun to play there.
I'll bet it is. I saw this week the Bills released a...
You just know Kirk Cousins comes to your house with like baked goods his wife made because he just wants to share them with you.
Plus, he's the son of a preacher. He might have made him himself. I actually really liked Kirk Cousins when he played with Washington, which is probably why he got the hell out of there as soon as he could, because they're ranked 31st, and he's probably a good person.
So just for fun.
And it was like being in the sixth circle of hell, and he wanted to get out of there.
We'll read each of our teams just for the fun of it. By the way, the Arizona Cardinals are hilarious.
So what you could say, Aaron, is the Washington Commanders are the second best team at being the worst.
Yes. You couldn't even be the worst at being the worst.
Well,
but anyhow.
That was hurtful.
Yes. The Chicago Bears. Treatment of player families, B minus. Average. Nutrition, D plus. Uh-oh.
It's interesting how that has become such a big thing. I know when a few years ago, obviously I'm a Wyoming guy, they had this big thing where they pushed, they wanted a, what they called the training table, and all the players were always getting good nutrition, not just food when they needed it and wanted it, but it was good, healthy stuff. And this is what, and I cannot believe how much that swings certain prospects.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And Wyoming is like one of the better schools at doing that.
Weight room, A plus. The only A-plus weight room. How about that? The Bears did redo their weight room like 10 years ago. I remember that. But I have seen it. And I remember I saw this initially, and it actually surprised me, because I remember when I saw the Bears' weight room, I literally just thought to myself, this is magnificent. Is this what every NFL weight room is like? That's wild. Apparently not.
Well, I'm assuming that means the Bengals' weight room is like Rocky IV, where he's carrying the giant post in the snow. That's your weight room. Get out there and get her done, boys.
Strength staff, A-. Training room, also A+. Training staff, A. Locker room, A. Travel accommodations, C-.
Thank you, McCaskies. That. There you go. There were no peanuts or pretzels.
I'm guessing they put him in like the crappiest hotels. Well,
I always think about the movie Major League, when the owner is trying to get him to lose, and so like they have him on this scary prop plane with duct tape on the propeller.
So the Washington Commanders.
He almost spit out his drink here, folks. So this is good stuff.
Treatment of player families, F-.
Oh well, supposedly that's why Trent Williams hated him.
Nutrition, D+. So you tied with the Bears for crappy nutrition. Weight room, C+. Strength staff, A+. How about that for the second worst? Training room, F-. Training staff, F-. Ooh. Locker room, F-. Travel accommodations, F-.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
It's almost like they need a new owner.
Holy crap.
Okay. But let's throw this out there. Let's say
you are sorry to the Washington Commanders.
Say I'm sorry? Why? It sounds like I'm perfectly correct. They need a new owner.
To the players is what I meant, I guess.
Oh, well.
We're sorry, Terry. Please don't leave us.
Hey, no way, man. They just got Eric Bieniemy. And they just made a bunch of changes to their staff per his, what he wants. So good things are coming. All of those grades can be improved. Those are all facilities based slash maybe don't have anyone stupid on your training staff based. You know, maybe don't tell Trent Williams that lump on your head is not cancer when it is indeed cancer.
But hey, you had what was it? A+ weight or A+ strength staff.
Yeah. Now see that tells me that, you know, there's some good people in the building. And then there's some guys that
know how to back squat.
But then there's also some guys in the building that are terrible.
that don't know how to tape an ankle at all. They lied on their resume.
That are like, yeah, that's probably exactly what it is.
It's probably the same guy. They just hired a strength coach and he's really good at that.
Doctor, but then
they're trying to save a buck. They're like, can you also be our...
Dr. Nick Riviera is what it... Did you go to Hollywood Upstairs Medical College too? Yeah.
Dr. Zoidberg in the wings.
Yeah, I am not shocked at that at all.
Washington Commanders team doctor, can you note the time and pronounce the patient legally dead? Can I? That's my specialty. and then on top of that, we talked about getting Adam Scheffler on here as a joke. Very nearly got Kyle Sloter on the show.
Yeah,
so, I got a strong maybe
Walk us through this. Let folks know how this happened. So, Kyle, first off, let people know who Kyle Sloter is.
Kyle Sloter, USFL legend, all-USFL first-team quarterback for the New Orleans Breakers last year. So I was a fan because he basically carried my USFL team's offense, and I wanted my T-shirt, dang it. Fortunately, we lost to the eventual champion Stallions in the playoffs. Oh, well. Sloter.
You mean the team that gets to play at home every game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why that league
Not
sucked.
Next year.
That's why I'm saying I'm giving it another chance. That sucked.
Yeah. I think they thought it would, because they saw how the AAF literally went under in its first year from travel, so they just went, let's just get a year out. Let's just try to finish it, and then we'll worry about being good.
So Kyle Sloter.
Sloter.
He's a professional football player.
Yes, and you want to talk about, you know, he's got a jersey collection. It's almost as big as mine, except all of his are authentic, and they all have his name on
the
back.
Yeah, his name's on all of them.
28 NFL teams he's played at least a week for.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
If you count,
he needs to contact the other four so he gets the full set.
Yes. if you count practice squad time, he has spent at least 1 week on 28 different NFL teams, including this past season after his great season with the USFL. He got another chance. That was kind of what spring football was meant for, right? Like, all right, come here, try to get back into the league. He got a contract. He was Trevor Lawrence's backup this year. Spring rolls back around. He was on a one-year contract. He's a free agent again. Joins the XFL. He's supposed to be their quarterback, but uh-oh. Turns out your head coach is Bob Stoops, and Bob Stoops wants to play the quarterback that he's coached before. Whoopsie daisies. Turns out that quarterback, whose name I kind of forget now, but he's been a Bengals practice squad quarterback for 2 years, is terrible. Even like compared to Spring League, he's the worst quarterback in the XFL. And I'm ranting about it on Twitter, and I said, you can't keep doing this. Your offense, this guy that they've got in at quarterback, is 0-for-10 against Houston on passes deeper than 10 yards with two interceptions. And I said, you can't keep playing the quarterback that's 0-for-10 passing deeper than 10 yards with two picks, who has, the previous week, mustered up no offensive touchdowns at all, when you have a proven Spring League quarterback who was all USFL first team, and I mentioned him by name, Kyle Sloter, on your bench. You have to make the change. This is ridiculous. And at first, I thought it was neat. Kyle Sloter's dad liked the tweet.
Which is neat.
And I said, oh, that's funny. He found a tweet about his son, because I was tweeting at the Arlington Renegades.
Which is interesting, because you had kind of abandoned your Twitter until I made you resurrect it this last fall.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of, you send me to Cokeville, and I give all these Cokeville scores. You would not believe the number of Daytons that now follow me on Twitter.
Well, yeah. But I would believe.
It's maybe more than every other last name combined at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of Daytons in Cokeville.
Anyhow, shortly after his dad liked it, Kyle Sloter himself liked the tweet.
Nice.
And even Kyle Sloter knows that Kyle Sloter should be playing right now. Then I DM'd him and asked him if he would come on to the show. And he said, we're going to have to put that as a solid maybe, because he's got a busy week coming up this week.
Which is cool. I mean, he didn't say no. He didn't say...
And then, unfortunately, Wednesday got here, and he hadn't gotten back to me again.
I like to think that door's still open a crack.
Yeah, maybe we can get him on here. Maybe once he finally does crack the starting lineup and Arlington wins the XFL championship, baby,
it would be
we'll
cool
get him on the show.
It would be cool to talk to him, because these guys that are playing in this league, I mean, they're still busting their butt trying to play pro ball, and some of them have played at the highest level, some of them haven't, some of them have played at the highest level of college, some of them haven't, but the thing they all have in common is that they must love football, because it's so easy to quit. So anyway, it would be cool to talk to a guy that's done it.
Unless you have an addiction, like a heroin addict for football, like,
which is like Aaron.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've told many people, I'm like, you know, you kind of think about it, and while you're going through two-a-days, you're like, oh, this sucks. This is the worst. The moment your senior year comes around and you know that you're not getting drafted into the NFL, and you're like, this is probably the last tackle football I'm ever going to play, you would not believe how much you savor those two-a-days in August. You're like, wow, this is my last two-a-days. I get two football practices in one day? Wow!
Lucky
this is the
you.
Best all of a sudden. Football is an addictive thing.
Well, you keep trying. I like to think we're going to get him. And it's not like I have had John Kine on my show. He is the...
We're still working on Logan Wilson.
We are. But I'm just saying, but John Kine is the ESPN guy who covers the Washington Commanders. I mean, he's a... First off, he probably had no idea whose radio show he was coming on, but he came on. I've had Rulon Gardner, who has since told me he doesn't want to come back on.
Way to go, Dal.
It has nothing to do with me.
I can confirm that that is true, but it's funnier to just blame Dal anyway.
Yeah. I also will point out my brother beat him in wrestling when Rulon was a freshman and he was a senior.
Doesn't matter.
But I'm just saying, we've had some high-profile people come through the ranks.
It's right there with my dad. Had a best friend on his basketball team when he was in college, who his big thing that he still brags about today, at least according to my dad, because I don't really talk to this person, but my dad does. He said he beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. And he ends the sentence right there. Because the caveat was it was at a basketball camp in high school, and they said, okay, I'm just going to play a bunch of kids one-on-one. It'll be 1-5. Kid gets ball first every time. And he was the only guy that beat Michael Jordan because he hit 5 3-pointers in a row before Michael could get up. So he just hit his shot, so he won 5-4. He didn't stop Michael once, but he got ball first, so he reached 5 first.
What's kind of
and he's like, I beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1.
What's kind of funny about that is you'll see little videos and things come up on Facebook especially, and it'll bring up things like, that time Jordan was at a camp, and if any of the kids could beat him, they all got free shoes, and Jordan beat all of the kids. Like,
oh yeah,
he doesn't care.
The most famous one was the Chris Paul camp when he said, all right, guys, Michael's going to shoot 10 three-pointers.
Yeah.
Everyone make noise. If he misses 3 of them, everyone gets a free pair of Chris Paul sneakers. So it wasn't even Michael Jordan's sneakers.
Yeah, and he wasn't even giving them away.
Jordan hit 10 of 10.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's where the meme comes from of Jordan just staring angrily with a quote underneath that just says F them kids. - Michael Jordan.
I've seen that one. Okay, I like that.
And then Chris Paul did end up just giving away the sneakers anyway.
Well, yeah.
Like a sellout.
That's why so how many championships does Jordan have? 6. 2 three-peats, 2 separate three-peats, and Chris Paul has 0.
Let's not turn him giving sneakers to 12-year-olds into a
bad
thing.
He's a loser. Oh. He's too soft. He'd rather have friends. He'd rather little kids look up to him and like him. Jordan don't care.
My favorite part of that is that it truly was nothing. Like, Michael gained nothing from hitting all 10 of them, except he's like, well, I can hit all 10 of my shots.
Well,
and wouldn't that be fun?
But if you watch The Last Dance, which was fantastic, by the way, he would make up things to be offended about to motivate his play. And it happened all the time.
Which people found slightly less endearing when it was, I think his name was Roosevelt Taylor? Linebacker for the Bears in the 90s.
Yeah, I like
wore
him.
A big neck brace. He used to claim that the way he would pump himself up to play linebacker before games he'd spend the entire night before in his hotel room making up fictional scenarios of things other prominent players on the other team would do to him or his family. And he had to go get... And there was Fred Taylor, I think, once got tackled by him and then said in the post-game interview that he's like... He just got walloped going up the middle. And he sticks his hand up, thinking Roosevelt's going to help him up. And Roosevelt Taylor leans over Fred Taylor and says, that's for expletiveing my sister! And walks away. And Fred Taylor's eyes, he's like, I did what? you got to be a little crazy sometimes.
Well, it worked for him. We are out of time.
Yep. We're on a slightly tighter time constraint this particular week than other weeks, but I think we hit everything we needed to hit.
Probably not, but I got to play some movie clips. That was fun.
That was entertaining. We also had the baseball game, by the way, speaking of pitch clock from earlier, that ended, if you saw that, on a pitch clock violation by the batter.
Another reason I hate it.
It is lame. At the very least, at least it was a spring training
game. The lamest person there is the umpire who's like, I'm going to enforce the pitch clock now. Big man.
The real annoying part is that the guy was in the box, right? I hate the part about he has to be set because that's umpire discretion. I hate all things that exist that are up to umpire discretion.
Yeah.
Because baseball umpires have the biggest egos of any officials in any
sport. That's why I'm saying he enjoyed ending that game that way.
Like, how about this? How about as long as the batter's in the box, it's up to him to be... Like, if the pitcher wants to just whip one down the middle while he's twirling his bat, make that how you enforce it.
Yeah.
Don't do the auto...
Yeah.
It's the umpire's job to... No. If he's in the box, that should be good enough. Just say, as both feet in here, because that's objective. You can just say, there it is. I can see both feet. I don't need an umpire to give us his opinion of what was going on there.
And with that, I agree with Aaron 100% on something.
Like, now I'm concerned, because there was the incident as well with the Cardinals manager and the umpire, because of an argument they had during a playoff game last year. The Cardinals manager approached the umpire before the spring training game. The umpire shook hands with the opposing manager as they're doing the card swap, the two managers. Cardinals manager goes to turn and he says, I'm not shaking your hand. Back to your dugout. I'm not shaking your hand. And the Cardinals manager just went off about it. He's like, he has no class. He doesn't like me because we got into an argument about his calls during the playoffs last year, blah, blah, blah. And the Cardinals manager gets fined for talking bad about an official in a press conference because, you know, the umpires get to control everything all the time and you're the bad guy if you're mad about it. And people were talking about, I mean, if he's willing to just be that blatant about it and say, I'll shake his hand, I'm not shaking your hand because I don't like you. What's he going to do when there's a ball that's 3 inches outside the plate?
I'm with
you. He's like, no, that's a strike.
To me, that tells me that you're not being very, very, it tells me you're being partisan.
Yeah.
You're not.
And I'm worried about, so if they get to decide what set is, what if a batter's in the box, he's in his stance, what if he's still doing this with his wrist where he's like twisting his wrists around the bat to get a good feel for it? Is that not set? Is it going to be set for half the umpires and the other half are going to say, nope, sorry, 8 seconds, strike.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You've given our listeners something to think about until next week.
Let us know in the replies and in the comments. What do you think about the pitch clock and how the umpires are going to officiate that? Particularly for the pitchers, it's easy. Is the ball out of his hand before the clock hits zero? That's super easy. I don't like the thing with the batters. Too much subjectivity there, and umpires are really bad about being subjective about anything.
Agreed.
Well, you can catch us every Wednesday-ish on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you guys next time.
I was not a sportsman last.